All right, that is 5:02 by my watch, so we'll go ahead and call this June 27, 2019 meeting of the Carson City Library Board of Trustees to order, and we can proceed with the roll call.
Chairperson Hayes.
Present.
Vice Chair Long. Trustee Cranston.
Here.
Trustee Patton. Trustee Solinger. Here. The quorum's present.
Thank you very much. With that, we'll move on to item two, public comment. If any members of the public wish to address the library board, now would be the time. Seeing none forthcoming, we'll move on to item three, approval of the minutes from the previous meeting. Have all the board members had a chance to review the minutes, and are there any corrections necessary?
I didn't see anything that needed to be corrected. I will move that we accept the minutes as presented.
Okay. I second.
Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
Mr. Chair, is that both dates? We have
right,
resets. Is that for both dates? We can do that.
Yes.
Yeah, I believe that's for both dates.
Okay. Thank you.
With that, we'll move on to item four, the Friends of the Carson City Library report.
Diane Baker for the record. These are the two reports that have been submitted by the Friends of the Library, the update on the bookstore, and also for each month for April and for May. So the information stands as is. If you have any questions, we can forward it to the Friends of the Library to get you an answer.
My mic was off for that. With that, we'll move on to item five, Library Board of Trustees business, starting with item A, regarding the joint operating agreement between the Carson City Library, NNDA, Adams Hub, et cetera.
And I was going to ask Todd Reese, our deputy DA, to take lead on this.
Sure. So a brief presentation. I believe that you are somewhat familiar with both the Adams Hub. It is. Okay. The Adams Hub, Adams Hub LLC, the Carson City Library, NNDA, and Carson City are entering into a joint operating agreement for the Adams Hub, whereby the NNDA will essentially establish a business expansion program, and the library is going to fund the program manager for that program with $60,000 that is donated from the Hop and May Adams Foundation. The agreement is pretty ironclad from the standpoint that if we don't get that donation from HMAF, then we, or the library or the city, is not on the hook to donate, to continue to donate the $60,000. The goal of this program was to meet the requirements in the donation agreement from HMAF to the library, that the library use the money donated from HMAF to fund a business expansion and retention position at the Adams Hub. In conjunction with this joint operating agreement, NNDA is going to be, through a separate agreement with between NNDA and the Adams Hub LLC, NNDA is going to be leasing space at the Adams Hub, and the joint operating agreement specifies that those payments will be delivered to the library, and the library will then use those payments to fund programming at the Adams Hub for business expansion and operation purposes. In a nutshell, that's the agreement. If you have any questions, please ask.
And as a point of information, this operating agreement will be reviewed by the Board of Supervisors at their next meeting next week.
So I took the time to read through this a couple of days ago, and like Todd said, it sounds like, you know, the library and the city and everybody is very well protected against any eventualities that could come up. So did any board members have any questions about it? And just to be 100% clear, you're looking for a motion to accept the joint operating agreement as presented or not, right?
Yes, a motion to accept the joint operating agreement as presented and the yeah.
Yeah. So if there was no further discussion from the board, I would entertain a motion.
I move to accept the joint operation agreement as presented.
I'll second.
Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Okay, with that, we'll move on to item six, the library director representative administrative reports.
All right. Thank you. We'll be starting with the review of the budget and our current status. We are, of course, getting to the very end of the fiscal year. The reports that you are looking at were run several weeks ago, so they'd be prepared for the meeting and the presentations for uploading. So where we were at that time, you can see we were doing fairly well with our expenditures against what was required in FY19, not only from the general fund, but also against our other accounts. If you had a chance to take a look and compare back, you could see that the revenue for the hub has slowly increased over the last several months for its proportion there. Scrolling down, most of the situations we're at with the grants almost completely expended. You see the planning grant, we have a lot of contract expenses that have been and are being paid out, so we should be fully expended there. And also in the gift fund, you can see that we have been expending full amounts, close to full amounts, with our funding that we have. And the backup for that, just a couple things to point out from the budget reports, especially with the general fund budget 101. Salaries, we will not be fully expending salaries because we have had the, of course, the library director position empty, and we have been had a number of other vacancies almost hired, completely hired there. The other areas, we are at pretty close to full expenditure on a number of those. The other budget that has a similar situation is the hub budget 232, where again the salaries do show a less amount expended. There are a few other accounts in the Adams hub budget that weren't fully expended. However, this budget is different in that all the funding rolls forward. It does not revert. So that is not an issue with that budget. Are there any questions? Generally, I'll pull up the P&L. For the Adams Hub itself, and I just, one of the things I do want to note is that if you take out the funding that we have gotten from the donation and the $10,000 that we get from the Perkins grant through the school district that helps fund the new e-program, that we have been able to raise in or get in revenue funds through the hub itself about $22,000 to $23,000. So that was within the goal of being able to have that because the $200,000 was not sufficient to do that. So we've been able to get the, up to that goal with the revenue from the leases and our designated desk and co-working. Are there any questions on the budgets and the budget information?
I just had one very quickly.
Sure.
I noticed that we are 186% spent in temporary staffing. Can you just shed some light on where that's coming from?
Yes, the temporary, we've been relying on temporary and staffing because of the vacancies that we have had, and I have put into the city for a budget allocation to move funds out of the regular salaries into that, but that doesn't show at this report yet. So in the June budget allocation request, it was in there to cover that.
And I'm sure that with our salary savings over the last,
yeah, that
we're going to be fine with that.
Right. That's not an issue for the city. Any other questions? All righty. Then let me move back to the library director's report that I have. Just a couple of items to identify for you. The creative learning, we should have a senior library assistant. They're interviewing tomorrow. So that's another that we should have on board. Library director, you know the status there. I am going to be out of the office for a few days starting tomorrow. I'll be back on Tuesday the 2nd. Amy Lauder will be the acting library director. So the burden falls on her shoulders. informational, we still have the library board trustee vacancy. It is open. It was extended into July. And so that will close in mid-July, and that will then go to the Board of Supervisors for an appointment. And we'll try to get that hopefully at the end of July or the first meeting in August, depending on how big those board agendas are. Additionally, on the transients, we started having quite an uptick of issues. We did have one particular Friday that was a little crazy. Some of the issues were individuals just generally there, but we were able to identify that some of the problems were as a result that we have exterior electrical component or outlets. That hadn't actually been a huge problem over time, but it has got increasingly bad, where we had one situation where they had an extension cord, a power strip, and an amazing number of things plugged into it. I guess we're lucky it wasn't a microwave or something. So I did work with facilities. We've closed off a couple of the outlets permanently. The others do have locking security covers on them. So that, I think we've noticed that has improved that particular aspect. So we'll take little bites out of how we can address some of those issues that have been increasing lately. Generally, you'll hear more about the hackathon in one of the upcoming reports. The two last things I have under activities, the Nauman Foundation, I did put in a request for funding from them on June 1st, and this would be for the children's shelving, which, if you look at it, it's kind of our oldest, tattiest-looking, mismatched, broken pieces. And what I got this week was I got a check for $10,000from them. So that is the start. We also had $3,000 that was an unsolicited donation from them last year. And I asked for the option to roll that over into this project. We will probably pretty close to what the cost of the shelving will be. It'll be about $18,000. The city, I think we can pick up the shipping with the city, and we can put together the additional funding. So we're looking to have new shelving in the children's section coming this fall. So you also hear more about Grow with Google, but that was an off-the-charts kind of event for us. Google does come in kind of like a storm, but they do take care of a lot of things, and it was a hugely successful event, if a little chaotic before and after. But in the first two sessions, we had a person in every seat. completely full, tapered off a little bit in the third session, and the fourth session was about half. But all in all, we had great foot traffic in there, great exposure in the media. We had a nice splash on KTVN news that evening about the event as well. So that went over very well for all the efforts that staff and had to deal with to to make room for Google, because that's pretty much what we had to do, make room for Google. The fiscal systems were as poised as we can be. Everything's changing in the city's fiscal systems, going to a new platform, going live July 1. We've had some practice sessions, had some trainings. We're as ready as we can be, I think. I've already sent in corrections that where we've had some information wasn't quite right, but we'll keep you apprised. Hopefully won't be too many hiccups to slow us down there. What that also means is that the reports that you get will look completely different when we start generating them out of the new system. So they won't look like what you've been seeing over the years. Had a great presentation to natives and newcomers at a luncheon meeting. The other I have here, the Dispatch Art Project. That is just an initial report. I've been working, had a meeting with Mark Salinas for the city's arts and culture, Katie Lau from Boys and Girls Foundation. We also had, Lee Plemmel from planning, a number of individuals. This is based on an international program that's been going out on. It's almost like guerrilla art, although we're going to formalize it a little bit. And that's where you use Legos in cities and just to do temporary art fix installations. And so we have some pretty good input already. Steve Neighbors at the Hub, and he also manages the building of the brewery across the way, is all over it. We can start with his buildings and do some of our initial there, and maybe even set up a little competition between the library's Lego Club and the Boys and Girls Lego Club, and have them across the street from each other and do an initial rollout on that. So we're looking at some fun stuff there. Wanted to put in this great quote that we got that just really features how much great work our staff is doing and coming together. Unsolicited comment, and it just does feature the great work that the community sees in the programming and the staff. Adams Hub, we've gotten a number of our educational outreach programs underway. SCORE, Lunch and Learn. SCORE is going to be a quarterly program, Lunch and Learn monthly. So we've had a couple of our monthly Lunch and Learns. I had a chance to present to the Entrepreneurs Assembly June 12th. We have still looking at some new contacts with clients. You've heard about the NNDA program, and we're wrapping up the contract with the Carson City School District. I've had initial conversations with them. It's kind of in between times right now with people at the district, but it looks like we'll be able to get that again for the new entrepreneurs program that has been run by Youth Positive and Molly Dahl the last year. The Chinese entrepreneur delegation was great fun, but we're looking forward to the Young African Leaders Initiative, YALI, which will be in Nevada actually for most of July, and we will be one of their days on July 24th, so that we'll start with them with a lunch and learn. We'll have a couple of other programs, including a pitch fest and some other things with their with the Entrepreneurs Assembly mentors. So we've had a good chance. Kelly and I have been working with Matt Westfield, our entrepreneur in residence, and that's pretty much got that mostly underway. So you'll get to hear more about that at our next meeting. So that kind of wraps up the basics of what I had. Did you have any questions about any of the items I had in the report?
Just out of curiosity, the second picture on this with the colored, I guess that's colored tape down the wall. Is that part of the electrical?
Actually, those are Legos.
Oh, those are part of the Lego?
Yeah, those are Legos. Okay. It's a temporary installation. They use kind of like putty sometimes. Uh-huh. Some of them fit in and will fit in and stick depending on the space they're fitting. Since it's temporary, they use things like an artist putty to have it there. And right. It's a temporary art installation, and it's to, we're looking at it for a number of reasons, not only to inspire youth to participate in their town and downtown and beautification. It's also working on our STEM initiatives as well, because working with spatial relationships and filling in, and we're going to be using it to fill in negative spaces. If you look on the website, you can see there are some that aren't, but that we figured that would be the best use of it here in town.
And I'm sure that there will be plenty of spots that we can fill in with those Legos.
Yes, indeed. We actually had Andy Wilson, who is with, I can't remember, it's the company in town, but they do property management in a lot of downtown, and she already had some property owners that she thought would be all over this. Okay.
Excellent, thank you. And I believe with that, we'll move on to the presentation of the strategic planning initiative.
Turned it off. There we go. What you have in front of you is the this is a draft of the public-facing document that we were looking to make out of the technical reports that we got through the contract with the university. And the technical reports were information and data dense, but as far as a presentation to the public and easy to read, that it wasn't exactly the purpose of those documents. So this is the draft of the public-facing plan. The other output that we are looking to have is to have a two-page information graphic type handout to have that as well. And so we're in the final design stages of that with Nevada Momentum. And interested, if you have any questions or thoughts about what you're seeing here, we'd love to hear that. And I was going to say on that, we are hoping to have the final version out available to the public next month.
Lots of good spaces here for pictures.
Exactly, yes.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Diane. With that, I believe we'll move on to item 7, our other administrative reports, starting with access services.
Irma Reinhart, for the record. So the first thing we have here is the Carson City Esports and Gaming Convention. So around the end of May, Maria and I attended this convention. We brought our virtual reality equipment as well as promotional materials for the library. The purpose of this convention was for people of all ages to come and have fun and get together and share in their enjoyment of everything tech and gaming related. So during the event, there was another station with VR. But they focused on gaming, and we focused on the educational aspects of it. So in the two pictures that we have up here, this program is called Google Tilt Brush. So people were able to draw in a 3D space. On the image to your left, this young lady is making a fire. And on the right, another child drew themselves. So this is just one of the cool, I guess, learning through play aspects of our virtual reality technology. And then the second thing I have is libraries equal education. So this month I presented to the Board of Supervisors and updated them on this program, which was a partnership between the Carson City Library and the Carson High School. Basically, Over several months, we implemented virtual reality technologies into the library and classroom. So we did get some statistics from this program. The diagram that we have here is, did use of XR increase or decrease your engagement about the topic you studied? And a large majority, fives and fours, which are agreeing that it did increase their engagement about this topic by using XR technologies. And we can see similar things, or there were similar results in other categories. One example was, let me see here. Do you think the use of XR has the potential to help you prepare for a future job or not? Overwhelming majority of students agreed that it would help them prepare, and that was one of the things from the results generated, was that a majority wanted to see this technology used for some type of job skill or another way of actively learning and preparing to be in a job. One of the things that caught my eye was the amount of students that specifically wanted to see how to work in a restaurant and using VR to do that. And there are a number of programs which you can do that, so that might be something that we look into getting for the library. But that's all I have. Do you guys have any questions?
I would like to add that this was very well received by the joint Board of Supervisors school board meeting that was held on June 20th, and it was well received. They had some other items on the agenda that were more contentious that we happened to follow, so it was a very positive wrap up to that, and that we had some really nice input from the school board members and from the Board of Supervisors. Even after they had been going a long day. So this was well received.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Ermal. With that, we'll move on to our creative learning update.
Maria Cuesta, Creative Learning Manager, for the record. So I have a couple things to talk about tonight. I have the Summer Learning Challenge. So that started June 8th. We had our kickoff party for that. Went really well. We had over 130 people attend. We had lots of activities. We had the virtual reality. We had inflatable planetarium, building rocket activity, and we also helped people register for the program. And we had a food truck as well. So it was just jam-packed with a lot of different things. I did want to note that we've been doing really well with registrations for the program so far. I know the numbers I have listed on here are from the first week, but since then they've expanded even more. So for the 0 to 5, we actually have 88 people signed up for. 6 to 11, we have 170 signed up. 12 to 17, we have 52 signed up. And then for adults, we actually have 162 signed up. So I am very excited about how the program's going so far, and these numbers actually exceed what we had last year for each of these age groups, so it's going over very well, and people seem very excited by the programs that we're offering, too. We've been having really great attendance for Summer Learning Challenge programs, and we've been getting great feedback for them, too. Do you have any questions about the Summer Learning Challenge? And then secondly, I have Grow with Google information. I know Diane mentioned that a little bit earlier. So a little background with Grow with Google. So at the end of 2018, Google announced a new partnership with ALA, which included a $1 million sponsorship and a national training tour, which is what they're doing this year. So we were selected as one of two cities here in Nevada. Las Vegas also offered a Grow with Google event. But their plan was to offer this program, these free workshops and one-on-one coaching sessions in all 50 states. So it's really great that we were one of the cities selected for Nevada. They had offered four sessions throughout the day of different workshops focused on businesses and job seeking, how to improve those areas. But for businesses specifically, they had a lot of information about marketing, improving that piece, and reaching customers, which I feel a lot of patrons found helpful. They also had the 20-minute one-on-one sessions, which went over really well. We actually had Bob Krell also speak at the event. We had some great speakers there. And I would say overall the event went smoothly, considering how quickly it was set up and how much they were offering. So,
yeah. No, this went really well. Maria coordinated quite a bit on really the getting this going. And we did have some great comments, individuals that said that the information they got made specific differences or helped them through issues that they were trying to solve. And so that was great feedback that we were able to see from individuals, especially if they had the one-on-one appointments afterwards.
I think programs like this help to educate the community on the fact that the library can offer so much more than just books. Mm-hmm.
I will say, too, there were so many people there who I'd never seen in the library. I feel like it brought a ton of new individuals into our building, and they might have seen some services that we offer that extended to something they might be interested in. So that was great to see.
I think the only other follow-up, I had two comments from Google staff I wanted to share. One, I didn't take them as lightweight or gratuitous because they have been rolling out these programs at libraries and in multiple locations. And one comment was they were impressed by how busy all day we are outside of the programming, but people were coming in all day for a lot of the other services. The other comment came from, I believe it was their AV tech who handled a lot of the AV and sound equipment. And she had walked around the building, came back into our makerspace, and she said that I could live here that with all the equipment that that we have. I'm not used to seeing that level of equipment in a public library. So those were two very good comments from the Google staff that I appreciated.
Excellent. Thank you very, very much, Maria. And those are awesome numbers for the Summer Learning Challenge. So looking forward to hearing more about that. With that, we'll move on to our collection development update.
Amy Lauder, Collection Development Manager, for the record. The first thing I think Diane mentioned briefly was our XR cataloging hackathon, which was part of the larger XR libraries project that the state of Nevada has been partnering with California and now also Washington on. Actually, Sina and I were invited out to California by our former director, Sarah Jones, to kind of help as expert catalogers out at their branch. We had two concurrent events going on that day at the South Nevada branch in Marin County and at the State Library here in Carson City. And the project we were working on was taking there's a company that they've been working very closely with to provide virtual reality and extended reality content through this equipment. And what we're trying to do is make it available in the library catalog so it's searchable and educators can find it and know how to get access to it and see what it's about. So if they're like, I'm writing a lesson plan on minerals, they can search for it and find appropriate content to go with what they're working on. So that's what we were doing throughout that day. I don't remember how much I said. We had about 25 people between both of those locations throughout the day. Tammy and the gang planned out lots of like t-shirts and fun stuff to keep everybody going. I think we started at 8, or maybe they started at 8 and we started at like 10, maybe a couple hours later. We ran until about 7 o'clock at night working through those So that was really fun. And they also, what I didn't put in here was some of the results of that project and also how the project's been going on in a larger sense with the programming and getting people exposed to virtual reality and what the possibilities are, was presented at the American Library Association. It was like last week. No, it was on Monday. It's been a long week. It was late Monday afternoon with Sarah, Tammy, Todd Colgrove from the State Library, as well as some of their other contributors to the project, were able to present nationally to a fairly full room. I was there. There were only a couple of different sessions at the conference about extended reality, so we really are on the forefront of this area in libraries, which is exciting. So they were able to share some of their experiences, some of the learning opportunities they've been able to provide, and we've been able to provide between all these different states and different programs with this initiative. So that was pretty cool. My second topic is we have now installed the second phase of our collection development grant project for this year in the Boys and Girls Club Teen Center. I have a before and an after photo for you. That first one is what they had up there with the one bookshelf that's not very full of not super exciting books, unfortunately. It was kind of a mix of odds and ends with a few things. They were like, well, a teen might read this, and some things they were like, I'm not sure why this is here. So we were able to kind of sort through that, keep the good stuff, leave the not-so-great stuff. And then, so that's that, as well as a whole bunch of our advanced reader copies, or paper copies of publication we donated over there. So that's what that first shelf on the left is now, a giveaway. I feel like this on. Okay, it's not better. And so now they were able to use their other sources of funding to buy those other three metal shelves in the second picture, and now those are full of the library books we were able to purchase with the grant, which is, I think it's about 200 books. So the first two are all fiction, and then the third one on the end is all nonfiction test prep comic books. I'm like, they need more comic books. This is important. No, they're very excited, and I'm hoping to kind of add to that as they go along, and they're encouraged to let James know like what they like, what they want more of. So that's really exciting, especially with the summer reading starting up, giving them stuff to read. So I'm really happy to like get better books into these kids' hands. So that's really fun. So yeah, that's that.
Amy, take a trip over to the bookstore. I think they have a whole collection of comic books that are not really selling that fast with our customer base.
I'll have to take a look. Yeah. All right, cool.
Is there a way to donate to them?
I would, if you, not right now, with the area, the shelves are pretty full. It's packed. Still a little bit of space. But yeah, we don't have a channel really, but yeah.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Amy. With that, we'll move on to item 8, board member announcements and requests for information. I do have an announcement, as I'm sure most of us know. This is Diane Solinger's last meeting with us. She's been amazing. She's been here the entire time that I have, and well before that as well. And I mean, I feel like I've learned a lot from her, and I'm very sad to see her go.
Term limits.
Right. That was the only way that you were going to go away was term limits. Because I'd keep you forever.
Thank you.
So, did any board members have any other announcements or anything like that? Okay, with that, we'll move on to item 9, public comment. If any members of the public wish to address the Library Board of Trustees, now would be the time. Seeing none forthcoming, we'll move on to item 10, adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
We are adjourned.